Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Just me at the top of the show to let you know of a few things. Hey, big announcement. I announced that I'm doing Adelaide for the first time with the podcast. So December 11, I'll be at the Rhino Room, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The night before, I'm going to be doing the Rhino Room stand-up. So if you're in Adelaide, make sure you come along. First time I've ever been there. Don't let me down. So go to joshua.com.au for the tickets on that December 10 and December 11. It's going to be fun. Thanks everyone who are Patreon subscribers. You guys are the absolute best. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's episode up with Michelle Brazier, where we got our musical theatre on. We counted down the best songs, according to us, from musical theatre. I'm way out of my element there. Also, listen to the end of this episode. I have an announcement about the future of the podcast at the very end. So when you go, oh, the episode's finished, but there's still like a few minutes left, make sure you listen to it. It's exciting news, is what I'll say. Anyway, enjoy this episode, episode 280, with Charlie Pickering, Claire Hooper, Damien Callinan, and Jess Perkins. Hello, and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week on the internet, I found out that my engineering namesake in Surrey, over in the UK, is hiring again. Can't keep good staff these days. So if you're a mobile multi-skilled engineer in southeast Surrey and willing to work 40 hours a week for £42,000 a year, just Google Josh Earle, refine the search for the past week and click on page 5 of Google and you can apply. So if anyone's out there wants a new job.
Yeah.
Do you have to be in Surrey?
Well, it's a pretty big commute if you're not.
Have you ever tried to build a bridge remotely?
I'm hot desking with a marine engineer from Iceland at the moment. He's never been there.
Who are these voices? Let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with a six-term congressman representing Mississippi's 3rd District. Can you please welcome from the Weekly, it's Charlie Pickering.
Hello. Hello.
Well done.
Yes. I mean, I should reach out to him.
Charlie W. Pickering. Oh. That's how he goes by.
Mm. And if I'm trying to, I don't know a lot about Charlie W. Pickering, but he's from Mississippi, and I figure there's some statements on the record that could get him cancelled. that's my guess
at
this stage.
He is in with the Republican Party. So
well, we're really in the wheelhouse now, aren't we?
Can he get?
That's his canceled? Middle name, Wheelhouse.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Our next guest shares her name with a Welsh lawyer specialising in personal injury litigation. Can you please welcome from Great Australian Bake Off, it is Claire Hooper.
Ooh, yeah. All right.
Welsh lawyer.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good. That's one of the few accents I can do that you should never say on a mic because then you're made to do it.
my eyes are saying it.
What's your go-to word to get into the Welsh accent?
Oh, from Boyle. From Dylan Thomas's Under Milkwood. It's probably the only thing I can say. Rosie Probert. 53 Duck Lane. Come on up, boys. I'm dead. I can't do it perfectly.
It's like Lloyd Langford was in the room.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Thanks, guys. It was really good, wasn't it?
But well, it's good.
What's that?
Just because this is a personal injury lawyer from Wales. Like, I just imagine you doing one of those cheap ads going, has this ever happened to you? You know? I don't know what that accent was, by the way.
That was better than mine.
Because my friend Pete would do a Welsh accent, and his go-to to get into it was, have you got any carrots? That's what he'd say.
Yes, that's really good. That's a good one.
Have you got any carrots?
Yeah, it's good.
Carrots.
Watch lots of Postal Pat.
Yeah, that's a good go-to.
Okay. Also joining us is a comedian who shares her name with the Vice President of the Bank of Hawaii. Can you please welcome back to the pod from Dugong, it's Jess Perkins.
Oh, Bank of Hawaii.
I know.
Yeah.
But bank.
I'm picturing a heist movie.
Yeah, big time.
Now
big
I'm time. Jess Perkins. Give me over, buddy, in the safe.
Imagine moving to Hawaii. Amazing, idyllic, beautiful. And then managing a bank.
Yeah, to work in a bank.
Ugh. Exotic location, mundane job.
Yeah, hang on, let's say you're really good at banks.
You would keep very regular hours. Bank of Hawaii. I mean, not a lot of big players.
Yeah, it's like 11 to 1.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd have good attitudes to company well-being. Don't you reckon, at the Bank of Hawaii? I reckon there would be great flexibility, good hours.
Yes.
I would walk in there on the first day, like, to confront her and say, do you have any carrots?
And finally, the man who shares his name with a Melbourne environmental control engineer. Can you please welcome back to the pod? It's Damien Callinan.
Ooh. Yeah.
What is an environmental control engineer, Damien?
That's the other Damien. We share little in common.
Do you reckon he gets a fair bit, hey, like the comedian, do you reckon he would get a bit of that?
Probably not.
I reckon he would.
I would
reckon?
Hope so. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I guess it's a distinctive name.
Because it's spelt the same way. Because you spell your Damien with a second A, not an E.
Yeah, it's the Roman spelling of Damien. EN is the French.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a great sound. Comedy podcast. That's
good. Hey, our first game today is called You Can Quote Me on That, where I've gone through the entire internet and found quotes from you four. I'm going to read them out. If you think you know who said these things, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. Claire, you're looking at me as if I'm going to choose horrible ones. I wouldn't do that to people.
I just feel the need to apologise from the outset.
No, I was young. I found good ones.
You know, that look was just feeling sorry for you. Yeah. I just was just thinking of the reality of trying to find old interviews.
It was 2004. People didn't know stealing people was wrong back then.
Yeah. They weren't even.
Just want to get that out there.
There weren't even banks in Hawaii.
Yeah. So if you think you know who said this, buzz in. Your name's your buzzers. You get a point if you're right. A point to the person who actually said it. If you're incorrect, you can't buzz in for your own ones.
Hang on. So the buzzer is, I have listened to the podcast.
You say Claire.
I say Claire even though I don't think I said it. Okay, got it. It's confusing though, isn't it?
I don't know.
It is now.
Yeah.
My memory think it.
All right, question one. Mike Hussey is called Mr. Cricket because he rubs his legs together really fast.
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Damien Cullen.
It was Damien Cullen.
No recollection.
This was, you'd just joined Twitter and all you were doing was just, when the BBL was big, you were just like tweeting along to it.
It's the only time in my life I've ever probably live tweeted was watching the BBL.
Yeah. 2014.
Echo chamber of naught.
So I'll point there to Charlie. Okay, question two. The danger of a bum is that it's just a little bit naughty.
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
That is Claire Hooper.
It is Claire Hooper. Yeah, Charlie doing very well.
Oh, I don't remember. I was going to guess Jess.
No.
I'm glad I'm slow to the buzzer.
This is you in the Canberra Times.
No, that's fair.
The danger of a bum is that it's a bit naughty.
Entertaining kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Oh, so you're one of those edgy child entertainers.
I am very edgy.
A lot of bums.
Has your philosophy changed?
I do think, and I reckon we'll probably say this about most of these, it needs context, that quote.
Well, that's probably why I chose it. Just
No, that was a quote to the media at the scene of a horrific accident.
Thanks for coming out, everybody. Now the danger of a bum.
Question three. I just went outside and scolded my noisy neighbours. It's midnight on a Tuesday. Please go inside and keep it down. And I've never felt so alive.
Damo?
Yes, Damo.
Okay, it's Jess.
You are correct. That is Jess. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What forum was that in?
That was on Twitter.
That's long for Twitter.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a speech for Twitter.
Yeah.
It's two lines.
And look, like most of my tweets, really pointless and uninteresting.
Do you recall the incident?
Yeah, I think I do. It was in a share house. I was home alone and the neighbours next door were being like ridiculously loud. I very bravely went to the front door and just sort of poked my head out and said, hey. And they went, yeah, sorry. I didn't even have to say much. I just sort of presented myself and they went, sorry, we'll keep it down. And
they keep it down though?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow.
And it was
really
exhilarating.
Because normally, when people are awake at two, they have very short attention spans for their promises to other people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And then it goes up again.
5 minutes later.
And then it is literally 30 seconds later where somebody starts giggling and then it's loud again.
Yeah.
That's incredibly powerful though. Have they talked about taking you over to the Glasgow summit and just leaning in and going, hey.
Scott, hey.
Sort it out.
Come on.
Can you not?
Yeah.
I wonder how many issues were sorted out at the Bank of Hawaii using that method.
Just keep them down.
All right.
Keep them down.
Okay.
Keep them down. Question four. I thought a bird was dying, but actually it was just having sex.
Oh! Sorry, I might have revealed myself.
Damo! I was just enjoying
it. First. I heard you, but Jess got in first. Yes, yeah. Jess.
I'm going to guess Claire. Yeah,
it was correct. Just the joy
of thank God, I was going to say Jess.
That moment. Amazing.
I've done it as well. I thought a bird had a broken wing, and I was coming from behind it, and then realised...
What?
I really liked it, Charlie. No, but it was the same thing. I had never seen them doing it on the ground, on the cement. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought they did it up in the trees.
Broken wing is one of my favourite sex positions.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I mean, like, I really, they were in the middle of the actual road and it did look like just one bird. And I was so proud of myself and so brave that I was like, oh, my house is just 2 doors down. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to the backyard. I'm going to get a brick. And I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to brick the bird because I want to put it out of its misery. And I was so proud of myself. I'm not going to leave it to flap to death on the road. I'm going to get a brick. And my kids were on the trampoline and they didn't know what I was carrying. They're like, is that for us? I'm like, no, this time. anyway, but yeah, went up to brick the bird, like walking down the street holding a brick with wild eyes, like psyching myself up holding this brick. And then, yeah, the minute I was so close to smashing it on the bird and then the two birds flew away and I realised it was a root.
Oh, I mean, that's the point of sexual union, though, is you become one.
Yeah.
Like, I walked into my parents once and mum was on top and I thought dad had gone away.
And so you hit him with a brick?
Yeah, I did.
See, speaking of birds, we in our backyard there's a tree and birds nest there every single year. And one year a little baby bird fell out and it was, like, dead. But I only had one son at the time and he was like, that's Wingo. He named it Wingo.
Oh.
Can we take it to the vet to get it fixed? I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing today. So put in a shoebox, took the vet, walked in and was like, hey, this... And he was like, Ollie was like, can you fix it? And they're like, yep, we can. And then the vet just looked at me and went, Wingo. And I'm like, I understand.
I know.
Let's just keep the dream alive for a few more years, okay?
How many animals have met either a premature and unnecessary end in a shoebox?
Yeah.
In fact, when I was in year seven, we all went to the Victoria Market and someone went and bought a chick, thinking that was a fun thing to do. So we all went and bought one, but then what do you do with it? What does a 12-year-old boy do with a chick? It was the middle of winter. So I put it in a Grosby shoebox and named it Grosby and then it died. That's my first pet.
Oh, yeah.
So when you know when you have to make up your porn street name.
Yeah.
Mine's for a chick called Grosby. Grosby Tenby. It is.
Well, hasn't this portion of the podcast become a boulevard of broken dreams?
All right, next question. Question five. Here's the deal. When someone begins a statement with, here's the deal, it's almost never is.
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Is that Charlie?
It is Charlie Pickering. A point there for Jess.
Was that fairly recent?
No, it was on Twitter a few years ago. Five, 6 years ago.
Hmm.
Like a lot of my stuff, it sounds very true until you actually think about it.
All right. Question six. If you're offended by people saying happy holidays, go and look in the mirror, point at yourself and laugh until you pass out.
Damo.
Yes, Damo.
Yeah, Jess again.
No, that was Charlie. A point there for Charlie.
Mm. Once again.
Telling it like it is, Charlie.
Once again, angry about nothing, but sounds like a truth bomb. Like it has the the aggressive feel of a truth bomb.
But are you you're reacting to people being angry about nothing there? Because the people aren't really angry about people saying Merry Christmas.
No, that's right.
How dare you?
Yeah. No. But they're not angry about happy holidays apart from the fact that they think that they can't say Merry Christmas.
That's right. And whereas no one has ever been prevented from saying Merry Christmas.
No.
It's just a bullshit culture war thing that, like, the right wants to get angry of going, I got a cup from Starbucks and it said happy holidays. And it's like they go, it's anti-Christian racism or some shit like that. Where it's just like, yeah, you say happy holidays. It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's just a nice thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It is two of the best words put together. What's your problem?
Yeah. Right? That's a great point. Yeah. Amazing. Love that. Holidays. Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, just as a really, like, to bring a bit of a personal experience to that. Please. I converted to Judaism a few years ago. And so Merry Christmas is less inclusive for me than it used to be.
Mm.
But I spent a lot of time in the States where people say happy holidays and it's literally like, hey, chuck an arm around some Jews while you're at it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the attitude. Happy holidays covers Hanukkah, covers Christmas.
Just explain why the right hate it. Hate its guts.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. That's...
I mean, you guys control the media and you're putting your bloody happy holidays on the bloody cups.
Yeah, we really should have done a lot more.
The media and the cups, where will it end?
Yeah.
Question 7. Very late RACV guy. How'd you run out of petrol between two petrol stations? Me. Why do you have a ponytail in your 60s?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Damo?
Yes, it was Damo. Yes. Let's unpack this. How did you run out of petrol in between two stations?
I don't remember that. I more remember him and his arrogance and misplaced arrogance.
It also doesn't help. Anyone having the RACV come to them, you don't need a lecture.
Yeah, you don't need judgment. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of times I wished RACV guy had said it to me, like in my between 18 and 21, like when I drove with my high beams on for 8 months.
Yeah. Is that because you didn't know how to turn them down?
No, they were stuck.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford to get it fixed. So I just tried to avoid driving at night, and I mainly drove on back roads, knowing how annoying it was. But
I wonder if you could have made some sort of sunshades for those high beams.
Maybe I could have
a mirror. Put some cello.
Put some. Yeah,
yeah.
If I had been going out with the techie as I am now, she would have had that covered. But no,
some gels. Helped.
Yeah, maybe some straw. Straw gels.
But you didn't hit any kangaroos in built-up areas all
of
that year.
No.
Question 8. I feel sorry for therapists.
Okay, Claire.
Yes, Claire.
I haven't played yet, Charlie.
No, it was Jess.
Oh, she laughed at her own joke.
You loved
that
it, Jess.
That was my clue. I was like, that's good. It's not her because it's fresh to her.
Just going, oh, classic me.
That's embarrassing. I don't remember that at all.
Yep, you feel sorry for
him. I do feel sorry for him.
Unlike Charlie's messages and tweets. That is very true. That's a very, very insightful. Mm.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the therapists. Don't you?
It's not a good
place. Why do you feel sorry for them? Because they hear everyone's stories or you think they're not being untruthful and they just want to go, hey.
It's probably a bit of both.
Sort your shit out.
Because I think, it's yours.
I just think it's a lot of dumping on them, you know? I save up a lot for the therapist and then just word vomit. And I go about my day.
And they're just expected to num-num sadness.
Yeah. Take that.
Do you reckon the therapist looks at their schedule and goes, oh, yes, I've got this person at 3 to 4. This is a break. This person's easy to deal with. They don't really have any problems. They just like to talk about themselves.
Definitely. Or they might. They must have clients who have very interesting, messy, terrible stories. And you're like, okay, here we go. 3 o'clock.
Woo! Great. Yes, there's some great stories. But I've always figured, you know, that's the stats about how many people start diets and how few of them work in the long term. I feel like that's probably the same for, I can see you editing in your mind.
No,
Joshelle. No, there's no way this is going to be funny. But I've always figured that every other issue that you take to a therapist would probably have about the same success rate. Like I've just always assumed that for a therapist, most people that walk in, you're like, I'm going to give you some great advice. You are going to follow through on it at first and you are going to revert back to your old problematic ways. And I'm not going to, you know, like I feel like you would probably, if you're really rational about it, you would probably have really low expectations of every interaction.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have hope just to get through each session. But how hard to keep being hopeful after you just see people remain fuck-ups?
Yeah.
I spoke to my therapist recently for the first time in almost a year.
Okay.
And I had genuinely put into practice a bunch of things that he said. And I went and he goes, so how are things? I kind of gave him a summary. And he seemed genuinely shocked.
Whoa.
Yes.
Like he was just like, well, all right.
Yeah.
Why haven't you done well?
You've made his day.
He's like, I just lost a bet. You know?
And it's more like, did I just lose a recurring client?
Yeah. I said this when I went and saw my therapist. I haven't been for a long time, but she was great. She goes, when were you most happiest? And I was like, probably when I was 14, to be honest. I didn't have any stresses. And she goes, what are you doing at 14 that you're not doing now? I said, I was playing lots of basketball. I was into basketball. She goes, maybe you should get back into basketball. That was 6 years ago. I've never looked back. I am so deep into basketball, the NBA. It is. But it's absolutely great for my stress relief. Just go, I don't have to worry. I can watch millionaires run up and down the court. It's great.
That was a good bit of therapy.
That's actually that's really interesting. I've been through a similar thing.
Yeah.
Part of, I was like, I used to watch more sport.
Yeah.
And I used to be more into sport. And I've like dialed it up recently. And it's very helpful.
Well, it's good that you
build them.
Question 9. Finally see a traffic light juggler worth paying and he doesn't take credit cards.
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Damo.
Yeah, it is. Another one for Damien.
It's
He had a ponytail. He was late 50s.
I'm amazed that they're still around, the traffic lights. I thought of all the things that COVID were going to take, they would be one of the first ones because no one wants to be in contact with people. No one wants to touch money. You show up the lights, is done. But no, they're strong. Not.
It'll start. Diablo will kick it off again.
Yeah.
That's the easiest circus skill.
Do you know what it... Why I don't like I
build up.
Yeah,
I don't look. This might sound harsh. I don't respect traffic light. circus.
That was acts. One of your therapists said. I want you to respect jugglers and traffic lights.
I think it's because they do a thing, like they do a thing you can do at the circus, right? And my understanding of the circus is you can just run away and join it. Like, it doesn't feel like... To me, they haven't even worked their way up to a circus.
Yes. Also...
Like, they're still, like, in training to finally be at a circus.
Big gaps between circuses, I reckon. Yeah. Circus contracts, they don't line up perfectly. You got some downtime.
Oh, so for you, it's just scheduling, keeping the skills sharp on the corner of Hoddle and the Eastern Freeway.
I also think, though, my thing with it is non-consensual art is never good. Like, if you don't want surprise art. So you're stuck in your car, they're just performing at you.
Yeah.
It's like when you do a corporate and they just go, oh, now we've got a comedian, and no one knows. It's like, oh, this is not going to be good for anyone in this room.
Okay, well, so things have been a bit quiet for me, so I've been... I've been doing Ray Lawler's Summer of the 17th Doll.
Where have you been doing it?
The junction of Williams Road and Dandenong Road.
Oh, yeah, so you're playing all four characters?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah, and the Kewpie dolls.
Yeah.
Oh, that's near the florist in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. With the cemetery across the road. I mean, that's a dramatic setting.
I don't know. It's a great set for it. I feel like
How much can you get through between the light changes?
How much do I get? I just continue on. It just rolls on. I get through about five runs of it in a day.
Anyone done blockies and caught most of the show in one day?
I'm too engrossed and I'm not making any money, unfortunately.
How are the reviews?
A few toots.
Yeah.
A few toots.
Three toots.
So it is. Couple of swerves. Tone of a toot, isn't it? I don't know if it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down, a toot.
Two toots means good, I reckon.
Yeah, I think
that's how I'm taking it.
Keep telling yourself that.
Quick toot, like a toot toot, that's friendly.
Yeah.
A hold on the horn, oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two toots is a goal at a country footy club.
Like, yeah.
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 You're chewing the scenery.
All right.
Anyway, let's not judge them, is what I'm saying.
Our last question for this round. Today, I have used my position on the national broadcaster to start a debate about the superior flavour of Arnott's Shapes. Pleased to see my journalism degree being put to good use.
Damo.
Yes, Damo.
Oh, journalism degree, that's throwing me. Charlie?
No, it's Jess Perkins.
Oh,
I ate shapes on the way here, actually. It's
what flavour?
Debate. Yeah, what flavour? Barbecue.
Yeah.
I would say they're like the most popular. I don't think they're the best, but they're the most popular.
I think you're probably right, yeah.
What's your
They're an easy pick, aren't they?
It is barbecue, followed closely by cheddar.
Cheddar's good.
Cheddar's good.
But you know, savory's a sneaky good.
Yeah, right.
It's solid. No one gives it credit. But there's, do you know what I like? Different shapes.
Yeah, very true.
A bit of variety in shapes.
As in the actual shape of the biscuit?
Yeah, the shape of the biscuit.
Two different shapes.
Yeah. I grew up in a time when there was only that option.
Just savory shapes.
Just savory shapes. Really? They were made by Brockhoff in those days.
Wow. Do the savory shapes tessellate? Like, is it about less wastage? Is that why they're that shape?
Yeah, do you reckon they're just made from the...
Yeah, they're originally called savory offcuts.
Yeah.
didn't roll.
Snips.
We're also not allowed to mention brands on the ABC, so I probably shouldn't have done that, but it was an important discussion to have. When you're doing weekend arvos and it's pretty hard to get any kind of engagement.
All you have to do is go, I'll also accept the inner biscuit varieties.
Yeah.
Then you got two brands, it's fine.
There you go.
The ABC, there's always pressure from like Ed Poles and lawyers to generic what you're, a joke. Like this happens heaps and it's, and with that it'd be like, what's your favourite flavour of geometrically inclined cracker snack.
Yeah.
You know.
Not, yeah, right.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, good joke, lawyers. Yeah. Well done. Well done, Ed Poles.
At the end of the first round, the scores are Claire, 0 points.
Yeah, that's okay. I wasn't playing.
That's all right. Damien, you're on 1 point.
Fun. How? Almost impossible to believe.
Point. Jess, you're on four. Ooh. In the lead on 5 points. Charlie Pickering.
I always start strong and really fade late.
Yeah.
I always forget. It's a game.
All right, this round is called There's No Business Like Show Business. In this round, we talk about the glitz and the glamour, don't forget that, of the arts. And today we're talking about a young Damien Callinan, who was booked for a Christmas party for an IT company. The audience were mostly men, and the night was sponsored by Bacardi. So by the time Damien entered the stage, the 2,000-strong audience were too drunk to care. But what did Damien do that garnered a standing ovation? Mm. Was it A, knowing they weren't listening, he held an auction to see how much money they could raise to get him off the stage? Damien got paid double his actual fee in cash and then told the organisers to put his fee directly over the bar. That's A. B, the teacher in Damien came out and thought if he get them involved, they'd settle down a bit. Every table had maracas on them as centrepieces and Damien got them to shake them. This quickly escalated as they all decided to throw them at Damien on stage, and he spent the set either dodging or catching them, which impressed them so much that they rose to their feet.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Yeah.
Or C, Damien filled a Bacardi bottle up with water and asked one of the waitstaff to bring it up to him 5 minutes into the set. He told the crowd, every time you laugh, I'll take a shot. Because the crowd wanted to see him get wasted, they laughed at everything, and by the end of it, Damien had an amazing set. Now, one of these is true.
I'm really shocked that there wasn't option D, performed a series of Commedia dell'arte characters to delight them.
Not saying it didn't happen.
Now, one of these is true. One of these is true. You have to ask him questions, try and figure out the true one. But bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point.
What's your normal go-to for a rowdy, distracted crowd? Like, what's the first thing you try?
Try and get out of the gig.
Okay.
Mainly.
Good. Well, yeah. That was a cul-de-sac.
Usually try some kind of audience interaction thing because the relationship needs to change, because if they're not listening to you just doing what you normally do, you need to do something that breaks the rhythm.
Was this your worst corporate gig, do you think? Like, was it the hardest?
Undoubtedly, it was a degree of difficulty, and like I knew it was, it literally felt, to use an overused World War I expression, it felt like I was going over the top when I went out. Like, I was standing at the back of the room, and I was about, and my kind of manager was there too, or manager's assistant, and she knew it was bad, and I was kind of about, it was about to happen, and they decided to do an auction, so then I had to wait another 40 minutes, to which time they got drunk. And it was one of those things, what are you having a fucking auction for?
Yeah.
Like, it's a Christmas thing. No one was interested in it. It just made them care less and get drunker.
It's because the organisers have gone back in their head going, oh, yeah, we've done events. Oh, we had an auction last time. Yeah, that was there. We'll do an auction without realising it's the end of the year. People don't want.
Yeah.
They just want to drink.
And it was actually in the daytime too. It was day drinking. And 2,000 people, 2,000 people. Each table was like Hewlett-Packard.
Not road seating.
No, round tables, but each company, so no connection in the room. They're all like, we're Hewlett-Packard, Dyson.
So not even one notified.
No, no, absolutely. They're all there. They're all there as a gift from some parent company.
Are they quite well lit?
There's no lighting in the room.
I'm loving everything.
Yeah, and two massive, like, MCG scoreboard-sized screens projecting the horror back to
so people can see the sweat.
They can see everything. Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
So I'm curious, what, as a school teacher, you would have had unruly classes as well. So what worked in those situations?
Bonding activities work. Victimizing one person or one table and making an example of them. That worked briefly. I had one table just immediately. I kind of did a bit of a, come on, guys, listen up. Come on, guys. listen up. And this woman cut through. I don't know how it cut through so well. She wasn't mic'd. She just She wasn't even looking. She actually, after I said that, I saw her swivel and say, "But you're not funny."
Oh, that feels good.
And then a whole table of guys near her all went, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, you're not funny," and like that, and that started. And then I managed to put them down because they didn't have an original thought, and that worked for a bit. So yeah, like trying to isolate. It was one of those times where you knew your material wasn't going to work, so you just had to kind of
battle through it.
Battle through it.
I mean, boy, oh boy. I suspect it feels to me like a situation where a simple stunt for dumb people would be very effective.
Mm.
And by dumb people, I mean obviously.
No, they were dumb.
They were dumb. Yeah. They work in IT, mate.
A whole bunch of people not at their best.
Yeah. To add to the sprinkle the
yeah,
horror.
Yeah, please give me
so
more.
It was sponsored by Bacardi, and there were this was early noughties, so the Bacardi girls were wandering around. Remember those Glomash tops?
Yeah.
They were just like, they just looked like a Glomash bag that had been cut open.
Yeah.
It just hung over the front of your breasts. So they were prancing around handing out extra free booze to every table. And because they were hot girls, the guys were taking them and drinking, smashing.
Bacardi Breezer time.
Yeah. Watermelon breezes.
Well,
and
it's still Bacardi Breezer time, mate.
Yeah.
It's always Bacardi Breezer time.
It's always Bacardi Breezer time somewhere.
It's really hard to do material to people that have had to let go of their cynicism in order to exist in the same room as Bacardi girls. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, when you find yourself in a room with Bacardi girls, you're like, either I leave or I just let go of all cynicism, and then you're not in the position to receive.
They were heavily on team Bacardi girls.
Do you remember the year at the comedy festival after party they hired those like roving masseuse?
Oh yeah,
like, three minute
angels.
Oh my gosh, I remember the name.
It was so bizarre, just sitting there talking, and then they go, "Oh, do you want a massage?" And because we're all performers, we're like, "Oh yeah, like, we understand what it's like to be bombing at a gig." All right, and then you're just kind of having a conversation and going, "Oh yeah, this is okay. That's enough. Thanks." Yeah, it was a bizarre night.
Mm. I thought it was good because I just had some shit.
Oh yeah,
it's working
out. Some
so my gut with this is that the only weapon in an arsenal that I imagine you had that would get a round of applause and possibly a standing ovation is a heroic act of drinking.
Yeah.
Like, I do actually think that's the only thing that makes...
Mm. And people who are already drunk love to watch other people drink.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see someone.
I factored that in. And I knew it was going to be tough. So I actually got one of the Bacardi girls to bring a bottle up but also just have a row of shots. And I put water in most of it, but I put a couple with vodka in it in case someone in the audience went, it's just water, and I'd get them to take a shot. But it was most, so a couple of actual
David
shots.
Copperfield.
Yeah.
So what are people going to guess? Jess, what do you think? A, B or C?
Oh, I think it's C.
You think C, the Bacardi bottles?
Yeah.
Claire. I'm really torn because I feel like it's C, but I just love the image of Damo trying to catch miraculous.
Yeah, we didn't really ask questions about
just
miraculous.
To believe in that visual for a moment longer, I'm going to go B because it is a beautiful Damo vision.
Okay. And Charlie?
I'm going to go C, Bacardi bottle. Because I could imagine that. I can see
it
working
so
well.
Damo.
I can't see it coalescing into a standing ovation.
Completely agree. No, I really think I've chosen the wrong thing, but I also
right
have zero
there.
Points, have nothing to lose by holding on to a dream.
Well, Claire, you are correct, actually.
What?
Yay!
First delicious point. Thanks, Damo, being exactly what I thought you were.
Thank you. it was a desperate moment. There were these Bacardi-sponsored maracas spread on every table, and when I got introduced, the wall of noise just kind of went up, and then I had this kind of like not funny exchange. And I thought, group activity, school teacher, group activity. But I hadn't thought through what that was going to be. And they all picked them up, and before I could even say, "Well, let's do the national anthem or anything," the first one just went. And of course, they're elliptical, or they're kind of So they're not easy to see with lights coming. So I was literally standing there just going, and then I started catching them, and I was quite good at it, and I went, "Fuck, you hate my jokes, but." You're really glad that I'm good at catching shit, because they were like clapping, going, "Yay!" Everyone I caught, they were like getting happier and happier. And then finally I caught one like that, and another one came from the other direction at my head, like straight at my head. And I went, whoosh. And I caught it with my two fingers with the microphone in my hand. And that was what made them get up. I just went,
yeah! I'm shattered I was not at this gig.
Yeah. Then, Damo, for the other 18 minutes of the gig, what did
you do? Well,
everyone hand back the maracas, please.
I was booked to do 20. I stayed on stage for 11.
That's enough.
And that point, there was about, I got the standing ovation. Yeah. And then I thought, good, use this as a means to get back in material. And the other thing was that there were literally guys running around to other tables rearming themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were coming from, what were they, 100 tables or what, 50 tables or something? So it was like really dangerous. I thought someone else is going to clock one in the back of their head. So I kind of got off stage just to stop the onslaught. But then I got a second standing ovation as I walked around the room, literally like the Christian had survived the lions, just walking around the outside. And I walked straight out the door in a taxi into the airport. And I stayed in Watermark Books for so long, I missed my flight. Because I was still in shock. I was just like...
That's horrendous.
So... 2 points there. So at the end of that round,
I can't believe you never told me that magnificent story ever before. It's so good.
Scores: Claire, you're on one. Amazing. Damien, you're now on three. Jess, you're still on four. Charlie, still on five. Still on five is what I
thank you
to say.
Okay, well,
hey, we're gonna have to take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages
from
Hewlett Packard.
No, from from Bacardi Breezes. Bacardi. Yeah, fucking hell, I nailed that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well done, mate. And we're back. So this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If things are a lie, you say nah. You can ask them as many questions you want, but bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong, so they get your point. So to Damien, when Jess was in high school, she once changed her phone provider because she found out her crush was with a different provider, and this way she knew they could have unlimited text back and forth and it didn't eat up her credit. Mm. Yeah or nah?
Okay, who are you with?
I was with Telstra.
Yeah, and they were with
Optus.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. It's real. And it was costing, you know, it was back Capulets when it was, what, 25 Montague cents there. A text or something?
Yeah.
And that was not many characters.
Did they consider changing to your provider?
Nah.
Did they know you changed provider?
Yes, because I had to change my phone number as well.
Yeah, right.
It was a whole, it was a whole big thing, just so that I could text a boy. Oh, God, I knew I would say
and
something
did embarrassing. And did the relationship sustain?
Yes, actually. Yeah. For about 6 years.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, it was a long-term
so
thing.
You so you saved a lot over time.
Yeah, it was a great investment.
Did you go back to Telstra when the relationship ended?
No, still with Optus. Still with Optus. Like 15 years ago.
It'd be great if that when they say, when do you, like, when you leave, why you leaving?
Yeah,
why are you leaving?
I broke up with my boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No further questions.
No further questions. Thank you. Okay. I think that is true.
You are correct. That is a true story, yeah. How did you convince your parents to let you just change phone providers?
I was like, I just did it myself. I was 17.
Independent woman, sorry, I forgot.
Yeah. Forget who you're talking to. No. my parents were never ever paid for my phone at all. It was always just me. So, and I was getting credit, like, I was having to top up every week. And I was working as a barista at Gloria Jeans. I didn't have a lot of cash. So I needed those sweet, sweet free texts.
So point there to Damien. Now to Jess. For roll call in high school, Charlie once got a friend to zip him up in a large sports kit bag and carry him into the classroom. When the teacher called Charlie's name, he would call out present and the teacher had no idea where the voice was coming from. He then appeared from the bag to much acclaim from the classroom. Charlie then repeated this the next four classes until he got detention. Yeah or nah?
Why'd you get detention? That seems unfair.
I went to a very... Well, fairly strict traditional school, and that shows a level of disrespect to authority that was not welcome.
Hiding in a bag.
Well, no, but making a mockery of the roll call system.
One of those very strict schools where it's like four chances and you're done.
Yeah.
And also, one of the students carrying their own sports bag. Yeah.
You're meant to leave it with a valet.
Weird.
It doesn't look good when the students carry their
own
bags.
What do you think this is, Carrie?
I don't even want to ask more questions. I want so badly for it to be true that I'm going to say yeah.
You are correct. This is a true story. Yeah, wow. Apparently, yes.
That's great.
I could make myself very small, and it was very uncomfortable. It was. It was very.
Did you then? So you spent the rest of the class in the bag?
No. Well, each class, I'd be carried there at the start of the class, and basically the bag was put next to a desk at the front.
Mm. Right.
And then they read the roll. And I would call out from inside the bag and then do a bit of a reveal where I unzip and emerge.
Very good. Right.
And
unseen by the teacher,
unseen,
the reveal.
Unseen by the teacher until I emerge from the bag and the teacher was like, what the fuck is going on?
So you did it to different teachers.
Yeah, I did it in four classes.
Can you please, which teacher stood for it and what was the teacher that finally put their foot down?
Can we guess which class they took?
Which subject?
Okay. So I'm going to say English teachers were fine with it. I'm going to say science teacher didn't want a bar of it.
I would have said maths. Teachers love practical jokes. That's why they learn about chemistry.
Was it your well teacher?
Sport? No.
Nah, they'd be up for it.
I'll give you a hint. It was in year 9 and I was doing a subject that you tend to have done like maybe up to year 9-ish but you maybe didn't do...
Beyond that.
It wasn't in your final suite of subjects in year 12. Yeah.
So, was it a language?
Diablo.
It was not a language. Not
Diablo.
A
language.
Diablo. Diablo class, of course.
Was it humanities?
It was a humanities subject.
Like art?
Geography. No.
Yes, it was geography.
Geography.
Oh. Mr. Hensel in geography.
Yep. And he's the one who broke.
That sounds
yeah, he was
Was
the
it because he couldn't identify where it was?
I don't like it.
He was just a zero bullshit operator. Yeah. And he was just like... And it was literally all the other teachers had found it funny, in some which is how I got away with most of my shit at high school. Was I was playing practical jokes on most of the kids and teachers a lot of the time, and that he just didn't laugh and it was like, that's bullshit detention, like you know, and that was it.
Wow,
Charlie, do you still play practical jokes?
Occasionally, I kind of lost the art of it, or I feel like. I'm not sure. Yeah. My dad was...
You know what?
That's your dad and his mate were great practical jokers. Yeah.
Yeah, like don't bring back basketball. Bring back practical jokes.
Yeah.
I did one the other day and it was way... See, the thing is, you described that amazing sports bag one and I'm like, I just respect you so much because if that were me, I would have given myself away immediately by giggling the whole time. Like, how
can
did
I tell
you not...
How, I did
how
it?
Are you not shortling? Please tell me.
I remember this so clearly because it was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? It was so tight... My head, like, I was, like, bent under. It was, and it took two friends to carry the bag between classes. And they were, like, both in the rugby team. They were big dudes, right?
Yeah.
But it was so uncomfortable and so, it was painful to do. And I had recently, in history, we watched a documentary about the Cold War. And stories of smuggling people across the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so and so giggle.
It had, and so it had... And I remember these stories of people hiding in suitcases. And I was thinking, just remember what they went through to get over the Berlin Wall. And that kept me like staying really fucking serious.
Yeah. Fritz Wetzel's a geography teacher, she's this.
So you get a point there, Jess. Now to Charlie. When Claire was living in London, she agreed to do a gig for a night called Wibbly Wobbly Boat, which she only realised when she arrived was on an actual boat for 10 people who heckled Claire for the entire set. Oof. The thing was, Claire had to record the set and send it into an audition. And even though it was one of the worst gigs of her life, Claire still got the part. Yeah or nah?
Where was the Wibbly Wobbly Boat moored? Because I suspect I did the gig. Like, I suspect I've done gigs on boats in London.
You've done gigs on boats in London?
Yes.
On boats? Sorry, plural.
Yes.
Are there many boats?
Yeah, I've done three boats.
Really?
London.
You've done three boats?
Yeah.
Like
one was probably technically a barge.
Yeah. Which I feel like this one could have been as well. Could have been a barge. I don't know. I don't differentiate.
Do you remember where it was? Like, do you remember where you had to get off and do it?
It was not far from the original gig that I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought I was signing up for a gig... Oh, where's the... I can't remember the names of anywhere in London. So, what's that?
She's doing a circular motion with her hand.
Yeah,
so
because
Buckingham
that
Palace.
Is a Buckingham. Tunnel down near those markets that are near the...
Covent
so I'm
Garden.
Thinking of the air. I'm thinking of an area on the Thames.
Okay, well done. That's really narrowed it down.
Oh
me.
My yeah. God! Come on. No. I know London. Let's think about the area near the markets. All right.
Yeah.
Was it?
Do you know what? I reckon you should ask me another question.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a gold mine. So
now, your geography teacher has just given you a detention,
okay,
by the way.
I was in London many years ago. To you know, like I don't remember
pre-Great Fire.
So that
1666.
Was yes, thank you. Mm-hmm, yeah, I was living in Kilburn, but it wasn't anywhere near the other side of the city, like down, obviously closer to the Thames where the boats are.
So was it actually wibbly wobbly? Like, was the boat itself?
No, I wasn't moving much during the gig, but it wasn't a big boat either. Yeah. Maybe had there been more movement in the water, but it was moored, so it was just. You knew, you know, that kind of weird feeling of knowing you're on a boat, but still not like needing to hold on to something to do the gig.
Like, yeah, performing on a waterbed.
It's like
a bit of movement.
I always perform on a waterbed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. I'm curious also, what was the audition tape for?
It was to send back to Melbourne Comedy Festival to get into the Comedy Zone, which I did in 2005. Yeah.
That is interesting.
That was the aquatic themed comedy zone.
Is that
zone.
Why you did your gigs on boats?
No, just for cash.
I didn't get any cash.
Just to save up money. Oh. It's funny because I feel like you looked up to the left when I asked you
what's
about
the left?
Where did you send
your
the,
left or mine?
Oh, your left.
Did I?
And I'm trying to remember if Starboard. That's a lie or true. Like I just know you were definitely thinking about something. You're either trying to remember what it was for,
any
or you were trying to make
up
what
in
it was
London.
For.
As a poker player, Charlie's either going to be very, very rich or very, very poor.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
Between. Between.
Hmm. I'm going all in because my hand is great. I believe that this is... Yeah, this is true.
You are correct. This is a true story. Put it there for Charlie, yeah.
On a bike. Wibbly wobbly.
So... Mm-hmm. The gig, though, you...
Okay, so...
By the way, that I think plays really well on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, just to tell, I don't know if it's true, because people quite often on this show will have, like, when they're trying to think of something, either they're going to... I haven't thought about this for so long until Josh asked me to send
some. Yeah, and they're really
through.
Similar parts of the brain.
Yeah.
They're, like, looking up centrally or looking up slightly to the left, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I genuinely can't remember where it was. I remember it was really hard to find. So I got called by... Probably not called, like an email. I don't even remember how people communicated in 2004. But Comedy Festival were like, well, you're not in the country, but do you want to be considered for Comedy Zone? Just send us a 5-minute video. And I had to send a literal video because that's how long ago it was, right? So an actual VHS. And it was so complicated trying to work it out because I was in London but not really with all of my stuff or anything. So I was working at HMV and I found a friend, a person I worked with, I was barely there, and I was like, do you have a video camera? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, could you come to this gig with me and record the thing? And anyway, so she came along with me. We got lost. We went to the wrong club, and then we couldn't find it, and we stopped for McFlurry's just to get our strength up, and then we're like, all right, we can do this. And then we kept – and then we find this gig. We go to the address on the – and we're like, oh, it's an actual boat. Go onto the boat. Obviously, nobody goes to a gig on a boat, so it's my friend and the organizer of the event – whose 50th birthday it is, and all of his friends, and they're written off. And so I do this gig with my lovely friend recording while he and his friends sort of sit side of the stage rather than in front of it, just heckling me the whole time. Whole 5 minutes they heckled me, and I was like, oh, well, and said, and like put it onto a VHS and put it in a mailbag and sent it to Melbourne Comedy Festival, and I guess they admired my delusion. Like, yeah, right. I can't believe I got it off that.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't even see my jokes. You know, I'm doing my bits and I'm just getting drowned out by these drunk guys going, shouts and tits, like in an ironic way, guys.
Can you imagine being a new comic in 2005 also auditioning and hearing this story and realising that, fuck, I was worse
than that. Do you know, Charlie, it was, did you might have done this gig because it was Malcolm Hardy. Yeah. And it was really shortly before he fell off a boat and died.
And died in the Thames.
Yeah.
Was it his 50th?
Well, yeah, it was his 50th. Yeah. He was the organiser of the event. This was a very, very much separate, but it was really close to his death.
I did do that gig, and I did...
I assume it was the same tiny boat.
There was another boat gig, that's why I was asking, which was down in... I think it was on Embankment.
Do you remember? Embankment was where I was thinking about, but where was the Malcolm Hardy one? So sorry, Josh.
I feel like the Malcolm Hardy one was down near... Not Spitalfields. What is it? Cuddy Sark? Or like, I feel like that was a different spot. Like, it was a different location. But I,
I performed on a shipping container in Cardiff.
Down to Maine.
Did you have a good gig?
Yeah,
of course you did. You're Charlie Pickering.
No, not at all. I had some terrible gigs when I was there. But I remember one of them was like, is where I met Greg Davis for the first time.
Oh.
And he was like the nicest human on the planet.
He's lovely.
And like that was a great, like a magical gig. And I thought if you mentioned that, I was going to know it was legit. But anyway, I got there eventually. It's all right.
Okay,
you
got me. To Claire. Now, Damien's dad once won an entire pig in a pub meat raffle. He then brought it home, but it was too large to fit in the fridge, so the pig lived in the bath until Damien's dad's butcher mate could come around and cut it up for them. Oh. Yeah,
so
or nah.
Okay, oh. So the pig was... It was dead when he won it?
I presume so. This is a relatively new story in the lexicon of my family, and I've been doing this kind of weird family podcast where I'm interviewing my uncles and just for posterity, and my sister revealed this story. It was one of those... How have no one ever mentioned this before? Because it was before I was born. But yeah, so apparently they all dad used to go to the pub on Friday, and they went in the bathroom, the entire pig with a lemon in its mouth just sitting there. Presumably on ice, but maybe not.
Okay, this one's a hard one to ask you questions about because this is
I'm relying on everyone else's version.
Did they tell you how the pig was brought back to the bath? Like that's
No, they just kind of
like a fully grown pig. Those things are massive.
Yeah. No, it was in entire.
A suckling pig, so presumably like a middle-sized pig. Because when they grow up fully, aren't they just too big for a bath? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Good I don't question. Know heaps about eating pigs. I don't eat
it.
Many
it
pigs.
Wasn't a piglet. It was.
It might depend on the pig. Really, like a Berkshire is a big. Yeah. It's a big situation.
I guess I've only ever met really big pigs.
Yeah.
But ladies, a pig is no bigger than a human. And we fit in baths.
What?
We're about the same.
Have you been to Collingwood Children's Farm?
Yeah. If you lie down next to the pigs there, you want to be the same length. They're heavy, but you fit in the bath.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Anyway. I'm asking too many pig size questions, and
you'd
not
say in length were the same, but not in girth.
Not girth. No. Mm.
Can pigs remember a voice? Sorry, it's probably outside the purview of the.
Oh, all right. Okay. So have you talked to your dad about it since? Like, as in...
No, he's dead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So, that's all right. You've heard this through your sister.
Yeah, I've only heard this quite recently. Yeah. So, so I can't corroborate. I've started to corroborate a little bit with the other siblings there's only my brother who was probably old enough to remember it.
Did he win much stuff at the pub?
No, but I kind of found out more about him. He used to go to the pub a lot.
Yeah.
More than I kind of knew. In his younger years?
My pop won a colour TV. They were the first family in the street that had... It was just a TV. My dad was the first family in the street that had a TV. And when the Disney show... What's it called? Walt Disney?
Wide World of...
The Mickey Mouse Club.
Wonderful World of... Oh, Mickey Mouse Club.
When that was on, all the kids in the street would go to the window and they would turn the TV around open the window and they would sit there... The Earl kids would sit in the front, inside, and they'd invite a couple of their friends in, but there was like 40 kids behind them just watching, like in the movies when it's like a news report happening and they're like everyone around the
how very
shop.
Nearly welcoming.
Yeah, it was like, but that dad was like, we were the most popular kids about 4 months until other people started getting
it. According to my sister, they set up bleachers next to the bath. It was
everyone came to have a look.
Were you aware of your dad having a friend who was a butcher?
No, I didn't ever know that. So it wasn't. It was in Warragul before. I never lived in Warragul, so I was learning everything about the story. I was like, "What? You had a friend who was a butcher used to come around and just chop shit up in the house?" Mm. And it was apparently one of my dad's best mates. I never heard him talk about him once. Hey,
butchered it in the bath.
I would imagine. Maybe either. Yeah, maybe around the out in the shed or something.
This is a really interesting really one. There are a lot of maybes. Like you're allowed to say maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah.
What do you think? Yeah, well, or nah?
It's a really tricky one, but I have so much to lose. I basically have my entire score so far in the game to lose.
No, you don't lose points in this one. You can only double your score on this. You're on one.
Oh, my God, it's double or nothing. But also, and so now I feel compelled to game. This is your least favourite way of playing, which is just game the game, which is like, how can we have four yes in a row? Surely it's a nah, and yet I want to believe in the pig. I'm going to go nah.
You are incorrect. It was a true one.
Of course it was true. It was four years.
4 years.
4 years.
What happens when everyone sends through?
Yeah, I couldn't believe when he read it. I go, oh, it's 4 years.
So were you intentionally keeping all the passion out of your voice when you spoke about your dad and his pig?
Was I intentionally?
Yeah, I was just...
I've got nothing left. I'm a husk after the Bacardi Maracca story.
All right, no emotion to give. Scores are Claire, you're still on one point.
One? Oh, my gosh.
Damien, you're now on five. Jess, you're on five. Charlie, you're on six.
Oh,
all right.
You would have been.
Well, this is the final round. This round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about the four of you. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your name's your buzzers. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Get a point if you get it right. A point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points.
Oh, God, shit. Fuck.
First one is this. Shut up. Who once went to school as the only kid in costume for book week?
Jess.
Is it again? Jess.
Claire?
No, nah, it was Damien, a point off Jess.
Fuck. Yeah, I was going to guess that, but I forgot how to buzz in.
Yeah, you just say that. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry.
Dressed as Sherlock Holmes. I had my dead smoking jacket on with the arms rolled up, but it pretty much touched the ground. I had an Essendon beanie turned inside out with two bits of cardboard in front and the back to make it look like a deer stalker and a plasticine pipe.
Oh.
It was so shit. And I didn't realise at the time that my teacher, who I adored, sent me around to a few classes to show the teacher the costume. I now know, having been a teacher, she was just sending me to her mates to have a laugh. I do remember one of them making me say to the class, "Elementary, my dear Watson," as the plasticine pipe stuck to my lips.
They had a good time in the staff room.
They did. Thank you, Mr. Brederis.
How are you with fancy dress stuff now? You like to dress up.
Nail it now. Yeah.
Turn you off?
I knew not to let mum do it.
Yep.
I live for book week. I love book
week. Mum was a good sewer, though. That was the thing. But it was the book week wasn't really a thing then. Yeah. So.
You were an early adopter. It was like you were into the strokes.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't even book week. Maybe I just dressed up and they went, what's he doing?
Just read a book.
Question two. Whose family once got through customs in Fiji using nothing but David Jones store cards? So no passports, no visas.
Claire.
Damo.
Surely it's Charlie.
It is Charlie, yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Dad packed the passports in the suitcase and checked them in. And he managed to, all he had was his wallet. And this is like 80s. So it was like 5.
Fantastic.
And he managed to talk his way through immigration at the Australian end and through customs and immigration in Fiji with David Jones card.
Surely given your pedigree, you were checked in a bag as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Question three. Who fell out of a tree in year six? Their pants got caught on a branch and they were left hanging for the whole school to see their undies.
Damo.
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Are you sure?
Oh, did
I think Damo might have
gone
first.
You go then.
Yep. Oh, Claire?
Yeah, it was Claire, yes.
How did you know?
Your eyes.
You look to the left.
Because a bum can be a dangerous thing.
Hit my head. Had to sit under a blanket for the rest of the bush dance.
Aww.
Oh, having a bush dance.
Having a bush dance? Yep. And I missed all the excitement. Isla and David were trying to sneak into the bushes to kiss and all the other kids got to just chase them around the bush for ages. They ended up like hiding under a car together while all the kids crowded around the car and I missed it all because I was under a blanket with my pants ripped off.
I'd love to hear the caller of that bush dance.
Yeah, it's Isla that
Isla. Chase your partner under a car.
Isla Fisher.
Yes, actual Isla Fisher. I went to school with Isla Fisher. Anyway.
Next question. Whose partner once put an entire roast chicken in their backpack before they went to work?
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Just Jess.
Yeah, it was Jess.
Yep. And I was like, I've worked in many dull offices and there's always that strange guy. And I would always think, who is your partner? Because they'd always be married. And you're like, who married you? You weirdo. And he would come home from work and open his backpack and take out the whole chicken. I was like, oh, it's me. I'm the spouse of the weirdo. Why? Anyway.
Good thing you brought it home as well, though.
Yeah, it brings it home.
Got through it. All right. Next, psycho. Next question. Who, at a televised football match, knew the camera was pointing at them, so looked straight down the barrel and mouthed number one?
No. Jess.
Damo.
Yes, Jess. Huh.
Charlie.
You are correct. It was yes. Charlie, yes.
Ooh, I was going to say Damo. Like
yeah, I know. Then I said, I was helping you.
This will interest Damo. It was the 2000 grand final. And so now whenever they replay it on Fox Footy, I get texts and tweets going,
oh, really?
Were you in the fucking grand final?
Like, it's quite close,
yeah,
is it?
And I knew that I saw the red light was on. This is before I worked in biz, obviously. But saw the red light was on and I went, number one. Like, it was, Lloydie had just kicked a goal in the third quarter and it was obviously
in the,
a wrong.
In the third quarter, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So the game was well and truly... Mm. Despite some poor kicking early in the game, Essendon was running away with it. Now, but
that was a bad time in the game for me. I was in the standing room with my brother and my nephew and Lawrence Mooney, and there was some thuggish Essendon supporters who just got bored when they realised we were going to win, just decided to try and fight everyone in our area in a quite contained environment. So we were hoping the game got close again.
Yeah, but Lawrence will do that.
Yeah.
Question six. Who within 3 hours of arriving in Dublin was walking around with an Irish accent?
Claire.
Yes, Claire.
Oh, actually, I don't know. I believe it of all of you guys, but I'll just go with Damo.
No, it was Jess.
Yeah, it was. No, Jess, it was. Wasn't it? It was
Jess. I was there at the time. Yeah. Was there. I know her.
Next question. Who has a tooth that the dentist remarked was more filling than tooth?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Damo.
No, that's Jessica Ginn's mom. Oh.
She's a class act.
Very proud of that.
Damn it. How's the tooth? Is it all right?
For now.
Yep.
He says we're going to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
He did it recently and went, yeah, look, at this point it's more filling than tooth. And yeah. I went, okay, see you in 6 months.
We're hoping with work we can make it all filling.
Yeah. I don't see how that would be a bad thing.
No.
Mm.
Make them all filling.
Question nine. Who once wore multiple pairs of underwear on a flight to minimise their luggage?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
That is Claire Hooper.
It is Claire Hooper, God. Yeah.
You have my number, Mr. CP. How did you know?
You're my favourite sitcom character.
How are you so positive that it was me so quickly?
It's like,
I can picture Jess wearing multiple underwears.
Yeah, no, it's that. Just a surprise. It's like what I would say is... and I hope this comes across the right way. It's a very Claire Hooper
then it never
nexus
will.
Between highly practical and highly absurd.
Yeah. How many do you?
And it just like it had as soon as I, it's like I heard it and I go, that's got the timbre of a Claire Hooper right yeah. there.
Okay.
Do you remember how many?
No, it was only two bras. You know, like two.
Okay.
That's not comfortable.
No, I mean, like, because you get, I mean, underpants, fine, easy, but also easy to like cram them in the side of this suitcase.
Yeah.
You can always cram one more, but you can't cram an underwear bra into an already packed bag. But you're like, well, I don't want to be stuck with only one bra. Yeah. Who knows what will happen? So you can
Jess's
wear.
It's full of roast chickens.
You can, you can easily wear two bras, maybe three, onto a flight. You're more likely to set off the metal detectors, but you're saving on packing.
It does look like you're smuggling drugs. Yep. But, you know.
Yeah.
And our final question. For the game, who once shat themselves on a miniature train because they were too shy to ask to go to the toilet?
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Damien Cullen.
It was Damien Cullen, yes.
That's why
okay,
I love you,
now.
Man.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I love you.
Yeah, wore them all day.
But also...
Was this after the first home? Lockdown?
Yeah. And he
yeah, I couldn't believe the miniature. I mean,
it
was the thing I missed the most was miniature railway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out there, that thing.
How old were you?
I was, I think, about six.
Okay.
I was with family friends and I tried to go to the toilet, but it was rancid and I just couldn't do it. But then weirdly when I got home and I'm thinking I'd got away with it, I must have just stunk. I went in and there was a wardrobe we had with a drawer with a hole in it for a PowerPoint and I just stuck the undies in there.
Oh, dear.
And shut the drawer and thought, sweet, no one's ever going to find those.
Get away with that.
Easily inside 10 minutes, Mum called me out. She wasn't happy.
I've done a similar thing in this podcast.
Well, you're sitting in Ben Lomas's chair, yeah. So it's fine.
Anyway, the fecal burns have healed. Only just.
At the end of the game, the scores are Claire Hooper, 1 point.
Okay.
Jess Perkins, 5 points.
Okay.
Charlie Pickering, 7 points. And also on 7 points, Dan McKellen is a
tie. Oh!
Nice. Well done. We don't have a tiebreaker question. Yeah. You both win. So
don't we, though? Don't we, though?
We all win.
Now, it's a big win fest.
No, it's not, because I got 1 point.
Okay.
You can't say most of us win.
You sat on 1 point for a long time, too. Yeah, just hovering there.
Right. Really flatlined. I really, honestly, I think it's because I am positioned like the audience of the show, and I genuinely kept forgetting I was in it.
Well, Claire, let's.
Hi,
seeing,
yes.
Seeing you came last, we'll start with you. You can plug whatever you want to plug first. Where can people see you? Where can people find you? You got books? What can people do?
That's true. There is a kid book. I don't know if you can still buy it. I assume so, because it hasn't been out that long.
Yeah.
Princess Benjamina has a very cheeky bum. It's a charming little rhyming picture book for kids, so that would be a thing to plug. I've got Great Australian Bake Off coming back early next year, so that's exciting too.
Great.
From my understanding, the book is also full of danger.
Danger.
Danger. Stop it. Stop teasing me.
Jess Perkins, where can people find you?
You can listen to Do Go On podcast and the Simply the Jest podcast. And that's probably about it.
I saw you were competing with yourself in the charts there. Number
neck
56
and
57.
Yep.
That's very good.
It's a good
Do you like
meme.
Do Go On?
I do like it.
I do.
You do? Mm. Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot.
Damien, what do you got to plug?
I have a kid's book out at the moment, Penguin, called Weird School.
Yes.
Get that in shops.
Yeah, what age group is that for?
It's 8 plus, middle
cool.
reader,
cool,
something
cool.
like that. It's not a picture book, but there are some pictures
of
in it.
Of course there are. I know that genre.
Yeah.
And also have a podcast, the Budgie Creek Community Podcast, recently nominated for Best Comedy. Australian
Ooh,
Podcast
nice.
Awards.
Good.
Who'd have thunk it?
Well good. Done.
Made in me little house on my own.
Excellent.
Laundry.
And Charlie, where can people find you?
The yearly will be on late December on the ABC.
Excellent.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, I hope so.
Oh, also your pod that you did on Audible.
Oh, yeah.
The Claire's in.
With the Claire Hooper's in, The Time Traveller's Guide to Not Dying, available on Audible, and you can download it with a free trial membership. So, you know, cha-ching.
Yeah, excellent. You can. You can get through it all in the first month. It's a joy.
Oh, you can absolutely. Yeah,
yeah you can. Like if all you want is Charlie Pickering's podcast, you can get that first month free and you can get through it
and
then
out.
You can
and
let go
out.
Of it.
Go.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people are saying about Audible.
Yeah.
No. But I do, love you Audible and we're consumers in my house. But that was the first thing I listened to. And I was well within my, that's right. I listened to a podcast I was on. Shut up. It's the only thing, Charlie, it's the only thing I'm on that I've actually consumed and enjoyed. And I think it's because it's not too heavy on the Claire.
Except for this podcast.
What's that?
Except for this podcast that you're going to go home.
No, I will not listen to this. No.
To
oh, yeah. As go if on. I'm going to revisit the glorious days of coming last by
hey,
a long margin.
Thanks everyone
Bye.
For playing. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Hey everyone, just me at the end here, so thank you for sticking around and listening to this exciting announcement. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you would know this already because I mentioned it on there, but at 300 episodes, I am going to say, well done, don't you know who I am, have a rest. Now, I don't have plans to stop the podcast completely, but it's just going to be stopping in the feed as you know it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going monthly with the podcast. But they're all going to be live episodes and they're all going to be recorded at Comedy Republic. So the first Saturday of every month, we're going to record a podcast of Don't You Know Who I Am there. And that starts in February. So if you're in Melbourne or you're coming to visit Melbourne, if you're here on the first Saturday of every month, you can come and see it. So that'll be fun. And they'll be made available exclusively on Patreon. So they'll be up on the Patreon feed if you're a Patreon subscriber. If not, $5 and you'll get that. Also the top five, so you'll get episodes from me every single week and Don't You Know Who I Am once a month. So that is exciting. So that means we have 20 more episodes to go. So the big plan is during the Comedy Festival here in Melbourne, that'll be 300. We'll hit 300 at, I think it's the third week of the Comedy Festival. So that'll be the big last one ever in the main feed, the free ones. So if you're in Melbourne, make sure you get a ticket to that show when it goes on sale. I would love that to be a very big show. I don't know where I'll have it. I don't know where I'll house it, but I'll find somewhere a little bit bigger than where we normally do it. I will say more things about this as we get closer to it. Anyway, thank you so much if you have been a listener from the very start, and thank you everyone who's been jumping on. The numbers keep going up and up and up, which is great. I'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Take care. If you're in Adelaide, come December 10, December 11. I'm doing the two shows. Come along. Cheers. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.